to Atheists Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. Today is Sunday, April 8th, 2012. I'm your host, Stephanie Zavan, and my guests are Carl Dix and George Kane. During this live show, we welcome your phone calls to 952-946-6205 and your emails to radio@minnesotaatheists.org. Tim Tebow plays some passable professional football, but that isn't what has made him as well-known as he is. Tebow owes his fame to his religious grandstanding, from his prayerful celebration pose, known as Tebowing, to the Bible verses written across his cheek. Today's guest, communist revolutionary Carl Dix, thinks that if Tebow is going to disobey the Gospel of Matthew, he should at least wear verses that accurately reflect the views of his religious sect. Stick with us this hour and find out what those verses are. Carl and George, welcome to Atheists Talk.
Thank you, Stephanie. I want to say further about Carl that he's a longtime revolutionary and a founding member of the Revolutionary Communist Party. He's a co-issuer of the call for the National Day of Resistance to stop mass incarceration, about which we'll say a little later. In 1970, he was part of the largest mass refusal of U.S. soldiers to go to Vietnam. In 1996, he co-founded the October 22nd Coalition to Stop Police Brutality. In 2006, he coordinated the Katrina hearings of the Bush Crimes Commission. In 2011, he co-issued a call for the campaign of civil disobedience to stop and frisk. Most recently, Dix participated in a series of dialogues with Cornel West, entitled In the Age of Obama, Police Terror, Incarceration, No Jobs, Miseducation, What Future for Our Youth? In addition, he's a collaborator with Bob Avakian, who's the author of Away with All Gods. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you for having me on, and thanks, Stephanie, and thank you for that introduction, George.
All right. Yes, now, Tim Tebow caused a bit of a sensation in the NFL season last year. I think he had prepared answers to the standard interview questions. If he were asked, how do you feel after you just won a game, he'd respond, well, first off, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. What have you got to say about Tim Tebow, Carl?
Well, what I have to say about Tim Tebow is that he is an NFL pro quarterback. He actually is that, but with mediocre skills relating to NFL pro quarterbacking. I mean, he's a far better athlete than I am, but that's not the point. The point is he's a pro quarterback in the NFL. He had the lowest completion percentage of any starting quarterback in the National Football League. He had the least yards per attempt and yards per pass completed, but still he gets this outsized promotion. And I call it Tebow mania. And I went to the dictionary, and one of their definitions for mania is an irrational craving or interest in something. And I thought this interest in Tebow qualified as irrational on two levels. One is the mediocrity of his pro football quarterbacking skills. But the other irrational part of it is this promotion of biblical verses and Christian fundamentalist literalism. Because when you actually come down on it, the Bible itself is irrational. It's ignorance, it's superstition, and that's what it comes down to. And one of the things that Avakian does in this article is he says, if Tebow wants to promote the Bible and feels that's what he should do, then he should delve into it and promote some of the verses that are less often talked about.
Yeah, I'd say a couple things about Tebow. Most of the games for which he was noted, Denver's resurgence and return to the playoffs, he started off slowly, did nothing for most of the game, and then had a comeback at the end of the game that was described as a miracle, and he was looked upon as a worker of miracles, which tied in with this Christian persona, as if there was some divine intervention in the games. I think that was part of the mystique. And also that athletes tend to be a very superstitious group. as a whole, that many have rituals that they go through and preparations for the games that have nothing to do with other than getting themselves psychologically prepared.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important part of it, but we have to really look at the particularity of this Tebow phenomenon, because a poll was done at the end of the NFL playoffs, and almost 50% of the people who responded to this poll felt that there was divine intervention in the victories that Tebow was able to pull off. I mean, one question that wasn't asked was, did that mean that the Lord had deserted Tim Tebow in the games that they lost? Because the team actually had for the whole year a 9-9 record, and five of those losses occurred when Tebow was the quarterback, and several of them were out-and-out routes, you know, like 45-10 and things like that. So does that mean that when Tim Tebow loses a game, the Lord has deserted him? Which, of course, it doesn't, because there is no God. There is no all-powerful, all-knowing entity that these people are referring to. But this is the level of irrationality that comes with this, but is also being promoted through this, because Tim Tebow has been a very exceptional figure in this regard even before he became a pro quarterback, because he's the only college athlete to have been part of an ad on Super Bowl Sunday. And I don't know what people know about Super Bowl Sunday, but Super Bowl Sunday is like the biggest ad promotion TV show ever. And everybody is trying to place their ads. And one anti-abortion group did an ad featuring Tim Tebow, which talked about him as a person who had been a religious missionary and talked about how glad they were that his mother hadn't aborted him. And it's unheard of for a college athlete to be part of an ad. It was not illegal because he wasn't paid any money for it, because you can't accept money as a college athlete. But it was unprecedented for a college athlete to be in the center of an ad for the Super Bowl even before he gets out of college. So he's been part of this promotion of Christian fundamentalism from the beginning. And so what Avakian does is he challenges Tebow to, like, okay, you want to put 3:16 on your under your eyes, you know, for John 3:16, the quote that goes, "So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Point. Well, Avakian says, why don't you go to Deuteronomy or Exodus, where the context of those points is where God is calling on his chosen people, the Israelites, to slaughter people who take a different approach to religion than they do. He gives them the right to do that, calls on them to be especially vicious, and even, frankly, upbraids them for not being vicious enough. Because there was one particular time where they attacked these people, the Midianites, and they killed all the adult men and made all of the women concubines or sex slaves, and they kept the boys alive. And Moses comes back with the word from God that you were too light on these people. Kill all of the boys. Kill all of the women who have known a man, women who aren't virgins, but then keep all of the virgins for yourself to be your sex slaves. This is virtually a quote from Numbers chapter 31. And we could go through a lot of other equally gory and vicious and brutal things about the Bible, and Avakian challenges him, okay, take these verses. If you really think this is the Word of God, promote these verses out there.
I want to comment on that one story that you just related. I've used that myself in a debate. The Midianite soldiers refused to first follow through all of the orders to kill all the men, all the boys, all the women who have known men, and to take for yourselves young virgins that you see fit. And compared them to Nazis in Germany had rules requiring Jews to be turned over to the government, to be registered. And there were some Europeans in Holland and elsewhere who refused to do so and instead hid the Jews. Now, they're morally in the comparable situation in defying authority as those soldiers who defied the authority of God and Moses and refused to slaughter Midianites. And yet we praise, or Christians praise, the Europeans who hid the Jews from the Nazis. Why do they view the soldiers being justly chastised for not following God's murderous orders?
Actually, that's a very good point to bring out, because Moses did have to come back and fight for these orders. He had to come back and say to people, no, you have stepped. You didn't do what you were supposed to, and to send them back to carry them out again.
Yep. We have less than a minute, Carl. Is there another verse that,
We could talk about Deuteronomy chapter 22, where they talk about women who are not virgins, when they marry, must be put to death.
Actually, why don't we hold that until after the break? Okay. I think Stephanie wants to jump in here.
Please stay with us through the break, and we'll return to Atheists Talk with our guests Carl Dix and George Kane. I'm Stephanie Zvan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The burning rebelliousness of youth comes alive in Spring Awakening, presented by Theater La Teda in partnership with the University of Minnesota's Department of Theater Arts and Dance. In this dynamic rock adaptation of Frank Vadakin's 1891 play, Spring Awakening takes a rock and roll spin on a tale of teenage self-discovery. More than a century after the original play, this new age musical adaptation of Spring Awakening still stirs audiences with its timeless interpretation of life's awkward teenage years. Spring Awakening is a superb fit for Theater La Teda as they continue their mission to present stories that both entertain and enlighten audiences. Come watch this talented cast perform the 8-time Tony Award-winning musical Spring Awakening, running April 12th through May 6th at the Rarick Center's Stoll Thrust Theater, located on the U of M's West Bank. Tickets for Spring Awakening start at $19, with student, faculty, and group discounts available. To purchase tickets and to find out more about this amazing production, visit lateda.org or call the box office at 612-624-2345. That's 612-624-2345. For more information on this rare opportunity to see the Tony Award-winning Spring Awakening, visit lateda.org.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. So here's a 26-second message of encouragement.
Hi, I'm Maria. You don't know me, but I'm proud of you. I'm proud of how you deal with challenges at home with your family and your friends and in your neighborhood. And I'm proud of how you stay strong when times are tough. For staying focused when everyone around you is, you know, distracted. I'm proud because you want to graduate. Because once you graduate and get that diploma, nobody can take it away from you.
Do you have 26 seconds to convince a student to stay at their desk? Now you can share your message of support at boostup.org. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
1450 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Atheists Talk. I'm your host, Stephanie Zvan. Today's guests are Carl Dix and George Kane, talking about Tim Tebow.
Welcome back, Carl. Now, before we went to break, I believe you wanted to talk about sections of the Bible with regard to women?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very important part of the Bible because the Bible explicitly and specifically calls for brutality, punishment, and subjugation aimed at women. I cited Deuteronomy, where it said that women who aren't virgins when they marry must be put to death, but it's only women who are spoken of in that context. There's also women who are accused of being sorcerers or witches should be put to death. And for those who say, well, Carl, you're just talking about the Old Testament. They got this New Testament, and that got away from all of this stuff. Well, there's Paul talking about how women should be subordinate to their husbands and should be silent and subordinate in church, and that the subordination of women is founded in the sins of Eve, the original sin. So, two things. They carry this through to the New Testament, but also they base it on the Old Testament, because the New Testament didn't say, we're wiping the slate clean from the Old Testament. Forget all of that stuff. It based itself on that Old Testament.
You know, when you mentioned Deuteronomy, I looked it up, Deuteronomy 22, 13 through 21. And that's really a shocking little story there. Not only do they call for stoning to death this woman who's not a virgin, but the question of her virginity is so public that the husband takes a wife and says that she's not a virgin. Then the father is supposed to contest this, and they have to bring forth publicly the tokens of her virginity. Now, I believe that what they're referring to is the sheets of the wedding night to see if they're bloody.
See if there's blood on it, yeah.
Yeah. And if it's not, if there's no token of her virginity, then she's put to death and stoned.
And just a quick biological note, that doesn't happen for a lot of virgin women.
Well,
and it certainly doesn't happen if, let's say, first sex is done right.
Yeah. So that's a pretty shocking line.
It is very shocking that anyone would want to, on one level, that anyone would want to uphold a document that has all of this kind of stuff in it right now, because people need to relate to the Bible for exactly what it is. It is writings from 2,000 or so years ago at a time when society was far different, where there was much less understanding of reality, of why things were the way that they were, how they had developed. And at that point, coming from that limited understanding and a very different society, a patriarchal society, explicitly patriarchal, founded largely in slavery, that's where all of these things come from. And that's why even things like the Ten Commandments includes within it an endorsement of slavery. Because when it gets into that, thou shalt not covet thy neighbors, go through the list, and you go through it in the way it was originally laid out, the women and children are the property of the man. That's not a equal relationship between husband and wife. They're their property. And then other property are the man's slaves, you know. And that reflected the way society was at that point. And it has nothing to say for how things should be and how people should govern their relations today. And, you know, even some of the things that people push, like this whole thing about, well, gay marriage, we can't allow that because the Bible says that marriage should be between a man and a woman. That's actually not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about various forms of marriage where men can have multiple wives. You know, that's in there. It may be in contradiction to somewhere else where it says something different. But even that comes down to how come the Word of God can't get its story straight.
Right, and you mentioned slavery. I think this is true of the other subjects you just brought up, too, but that slavery is upheld in the New Testament also,
yes,
as well as the Old Testament, that it's affirmed. All right, since we're on our Bible bashing mode this Easter Sunday, do you have another quote that you'd like to bring
up? I wanted to go in a slightly different direction.
Sure.
Because some people might say, well, why did they start this off talking about Tim Tebow? Football season's over. He's
right
out of the picture. Well, that is not true. I'm in New York right now, and a couple weeks ago he got traded to the New York Jets to become the backup quarterback here. At least that's what they're saying right now.
Yeah.
For that team. They held a press conference to announce the hiring of this backup quarterback, but they had to move it from the press room out to the football field because hundreds of journalists came. A big billboard is put up for the tunnel that leads into New York City in Manhattan, the Lincoln Tunnel, with Tebow in one of his ads. And today, as we speak, Tim Tebow, maybe he's already done it, I don't know, in Texas, he's part of a mega church Easter service that they're expecting 30,000 people for. So this athlete, this professional athlete with mediocre skills who is being promoted way outside of those mediocre skills is a platform for the promotion of this Christian fundamentalist, biblical, literalist approach broadly throughout society. And one of the things, even some of the sports writers who acknowledge he's not that good as a pro quarterback talk about him as a role model and someone whose value should be emulated. And this is all based upon his biblical promotion, you know, the quotes that he puts under his eyes and this kind of stuff. And people really need to get at the actual morality and the values that this Bible that he's promoting is based on. And people also need to get at why is this being promoted.
All right. We need to
so I wanted to bring that in
shortly, but we do have a caller. Let's hear from Vaughn in Roseville.
Hi, yes. Yeah, I'd like to take issue with the notion that the New Testament grew organically from the Old Testament. The Jewish Old Testament is, of course, littered with stories of genocide, which is approved, provided you're not part of the Jewish in-group. But if you read the New Testament, the curtain was rendered in the temple, thereby signifying the end of the Old Testament agreement God had with the Jews. So there really is a distinction to be drawn between the New Testament and loving everyone in the Old Testament, which is basically an ethic of revenge. What do you have to say about that?
Okay. I can't speak directly to the rendering in the temple of the curtain. I'm not
actually
clear on that. Maybe someone else could.
Well,
but
I was
the
going
New
to
Testament
suggest that
does carry forward the promotion of slavery. It carries forward the subjugation of women. And for all the talk, what this caller has said about the clean break, that's not what it does not put forward, I come to you to disavow the earlier message and bring a different and opposed message.
We need to go to break.
Maybe George
we can
wants
talk
to speak
about
to
that
them
a little bit more when we come back. Please stay with us through the break. We'll return to Atheists Talk with our guests Carl Dix and George Kane. This is Stephanie Savan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems by meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofnn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Bullying is the most common form of violence experienced by young people in the nation. in a special presentation of the documentary Bully on Tuesday, April 10th at the Icon Theater in St. Louis Park. This gripping film from Sundance and Emmy Award-winning director Lee Hirsch will offer an intimate and often difficult portrayal of how bullying has affected five real-life kids and their families. In America alone, 13 million kids will be bullied this year. Filmed over the course of the last school year, Bully looks at the often threatened lives of bullied kids, revealing a problem that goes beyond traditional cliches of schoolyard abuse. Bully documents the scenarios and real-life situations that teachers and administrators often find themselves in. It also offers a glimpse into a growing movement of parents and youth aimed at facing bullying head-on. Stop into Cafe Latte on the corner of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul and mention AM950 to get a pair of tickets to the premiere of Bully. While you're there, be sure to enjoy their fantastic pizza and wine bar as well. Find more on the film Bully at bullyproject.com.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
AM 950 weather is brought to you by Cafe Latte. Mostly sunny and breezy today with highs near 61 and possible wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 35. Monday, mostly sunny and breezy again, but it looks like our high will only reach 48. There's a chance for frost Monday night with temps dipping down to 28. Stop into Cafe Latte on the corner of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul and mention AM 950 to get a pair of tickets to the premiere of Bully and enjoy their fantastic pizza and wine bar. Find more on the film Bully at bullyproject.com.
Those who promote biblical literalism need to be aware of and deal with the full contents of the Bible. Welcome back to Atheists Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Stephanie Zavan. If you have a question or comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email to radio@minnesotaatheists.org. Carl Dix and George Kane are discussing Tim Tebow and biblical literalism. And when we went to the break, we had just gotten a call from Vaughn, who was suggesting that the New Testament is substantially different from the Old Testament. And George had a few more things to say about that.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. I understand Vaughn's position, and certainly there are a lot of Christians who believe that the New Testament is a totally different covenant that we can then forget about what's written in the Old Testament. But I would just say that there are many Christians who believe quite the opposite. That it's important that the New Testament grew organically. They quote Jesus saying that he came not to end the law, but to fulfill it. And that, as Tim pointed out when he was speaking earlier, all of these things that the Bible preaches against that seem just archaic and shocking to us now. Slavery, of the treatment of women. These are also things that are written about in the New Testament in ways that that simply add to the earlier comments.
The reason we can't have a female priesthood is included in John.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Revelation is not exactly, shall we say, genocide-free.
Yeah.
there are some issues there.
Right. All right, Carl, let's see. Did we interrupt your narrative about, with the phone call, did we interrupt the narrative about
Tim Tebow coming to New York?
No,
I made the point that I wanted to make. One thing that I would add to that, and it goes along with your point that many Christians view the Bible as an integral whole and uphold and promote the whole thing, is the role that use of promoting biblical literalism and Christian fundamentalism plays in today's world. Because when the U.S. invaded Iraq more recently, some of the generals were promoting it as a new crusade. At the U.S. Air Force Academy, some of the leading people push Christian fundamentalism and biblical literalism down to the level that if people who are studying at the U.S. Air Force Academy don't want to go to a voluntary Christian fundamentalist religious service, they have to participate in what is officially called at the U.S. Air Force Academy a heathen walk. So that if you happen to be Jewish or Buddhist or a Muslim or just don't favor that form of Christianity, you have to walk out of this service, and it is called a heathen walk by the people who run the U.S. Air Force Academy. That's how much this has relevance today, and that it's not just that some people believe it, but some people are pushing it. And that has everything to do with the promotion of Tim Tebow as a role model for his biblical literalism and promotion of Christian fundamentalism. That having a group of people who are pulled together as a rock-hard social base in this society is very important for some very powerful forces in this society, because in a time of upheaval and questioning that is going on not only in this country but around the world, they want to push this, the traditional morality, the obedience to both political authority but also moral and religious authority that comes from taking the Bible and pushing it as something that people have to get with.
Right. I really hadn't heard that term heathen walk before, but I've heard of numerous incidents at, what is that, the Air Force Academy in Colorado?
Yeah, the Air Force Academy in particular. The people who run it are very, not only are they into Christian fundamentalism, but they push it at the academy. And they do literally say that people have to engage in what they call a heathen walk.
Mm-hmm.
And several Jewish cadets were very incensed about this, correctly and justifiably, because not wanting to participate in some Christian fundamentalist Bible beating does not qualify you as a heathen, even though I would disagree with the philosophical and theocratic things of the Jewish religion as well. This is outrageous that they would, you know, the people running this academy would push that. And it was stunning that it was happening, but also stunning was the fact that it was not unknown to higher authorities that this was going on, and it wasn't deemed as something that they wanted to step in and stop.
Yeah, so I think particularly the chaplain corps there at the Air Force Academy have been known to be promoting fundamentalism. And held other events in which supposedly entertainment events like rock concerts, in which attendance was mandatory, that if you declined to participate, people who declined to participate were assigned jobs like cleaning latrines.
Oh, don't get me started on military chaplains.
Okay.
Because I was in the United States Army during the Vietnam period, and I applied for conscientious objector status because I did not want to participate in the war in Vietnam. And I had to meet with chaplains, several chaplains as a part of that. And these men of God told me how much God was down with a United States victory in the war in Vietnam. So I've had... Those aren't my favorite people, let me just say it that way.
All right.
But they were also dealing in this promotion of God as down with the U.S. because he had a new chosen people today. And that was how the Bible was being wielded back in that period.
How do you think Tim Tebow is looked upon by the official hierarchy of the National Football League?
Yeah, see, this is a point that Avakian makes in the series of art. He did two articles. One is Tips for Tim Tebow, where he suggests other biblical verses that Tim Tebow should promote. The other is Tebow and the Tuck Rule. And in the article Tebow and the Tuck Rule, he talks about how promoting Tim Tebow is not just a marketing decision by the team that he happens to be on or the people around Tim Tebow, but he says that there are forces higher than the team and lower than a non-existent God who want to see this happen. And he talks about how in the realm of sports, winners are very important because it's an important part of especially the macho guy culture, to be with a winner, and that there are forces that operate to help make winners of people who want to be promoted. And this is a more complex, longer discussion, but the basic point is that in sports, it isn't the case that everything gets determined by the skills and capability of the players on the field and the decisions of the coaches, but higher forces come in. And in Tebow and the Tuck Rule, he discusses an obscure rule that, as far as he and I can determine, has only been applied once in the playoffs after the September 11, 2001 attack on the United States, which seemed to be applied in service to the New England Patriots winning a crucial playoff game and going forward to the Super Bowl. And the obscure rule was the Tuck Rule. I don't want to try to get into it because it's so obscure, you'd have to really talk about it. But if people want to read about that, the articles that I talked about by Avakian on Tim Tebow are available on the website www.revcom.us. That's revcom.us.
They are also linked from the show notes at the Minnesota Atheists website.
Oh, okay. That's another way to get them.
All right. Now, as far as the owners, whom I assume are the power above the team and below God, but owners and league officials, it seems to me that their interest is principally in making money. Now, I can understand that probably there, you know, is some thought given to that, in that Tebow, with his celebrity or notoriety from last year, moved into the largest market, being New York, for this year, that they may try to parlay his celebrity into additional cash for the league. But do you think that there's really any intention to promote him for religious transformation or religious messaging rather than just as a celebrity who will make them some money?
Well, I think there really is. And this is a thing that this is part of the larger discussion. And, I mean, I have to detour a little bit to basketball to bring this out. And, like, in the period after Magic Johnson, Larry Bird were leaving the scene, there was a big concern about the viability of the NBA. And it had to do with financing, but it also had to do with image. And a young man came along named Michael Jordan, who was an extraordinary basketball player, but something else happened when Michael Jordan came along. They changed the rule on dribbling. Now, your audience, this may be an obscure thing to your audience, but as a very devoted basketball fan, it used to be you had to dribble by putting your hand on top of the ball. If you look at especially professional basketball now, people are allowed to dribble by putting their hand under the ball and literally carrying it a little bit. Mm. And that's only a violation when you use it to gain an advantage, which is exactly why you do it, to gain an advantage. But that change in the rule is why Michael Jordan is considered the greatest basketball player ever. Because you take a guy with his skills and you allow him to carry the ball, there's just no way you could stop him.
Are you regarding
that rule change was made for the viability of the league, but also it was determined that Michael Jordan was a fit figure for it, you know, being a non-controversial person, a businessman who wasn't going to go off into, you know, the kind of views that would be viewed as complex. And with Tebow, it's a different calculation. He is not, he's a very good athlete, but he's not an outstanding pro football quarterback. He's a mediocre pro football quarterback. But the morality and values that are associated with him, there's a determination, and it's a determination with league officials and team owners, but it also ties in with other forces in society who wanted to see this promoted.
All right, Carl, you know, we need to go to commercial.
Oh, sorry.
Please stay with us through the break, and we'll return to Atheists Talk with our guests Carl Dix and George Kane. I'm Stephanie Zavan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Drop School Day students, community. High 7 the classroom, 1,000 America attendance. Quit variety, they have reasons. Job like to get. Baby raise a. Relative help an elderly. Happening local on, it's a level. Catastrophe, it's a national.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. It doesn't make sense to us either. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Spring came early this year, so I know my home will start getting full of family and friends for barbecues and get-togethers. That's why I'm calling Zero Res Carpet Care. From my carpet to upholstery, Zero Res always makes sure my home feels fresh and clean. Just ask for the AM950 special.
Right now, get 3 rooms, pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized, starting at just $149. Call 651-779-8888. That's 651-779-8888 for Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least 2 events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheists Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Stephanie Zavan. Before we go back to our guests, I wish to thank our sponsors, Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina, and the Humanists of Minnesota. We sincerely appreciate your support and the support of all our contributors. Even small donations help to keep us on the air. Our music is composed by member Brent Michael Davids. It's time to start planning ahead to May and the Minnesota Atheists' Day of Reason rally at the State Capitol Rotunda. Come join us on May 3rd to remind our state politicians that atheists exist and are politically active.
This year, the focus of the rally will be on equal rights for gays and lesbians and the amendment on the November ballot that would enshrine marriage inequality in our state constitution. And now, back to Carl Dix and George Kane.
Thank you, Stephanie. Carlo, and thank you for the discussion of Tebow, but I know that you want to say something about the National Day of Resistance to Stop Mass Incarceration. What is that?
Well, what that is on April 19th, there is a call for, and it's been responded to by people in different parts of the country, to manifest resistance to the injustice of mass incarceration. And that's the fact that there are 2.4 million people in prisons all across this country, more people and more people per capita than in any country around the world. But also part of that is the discrimination in the law enforcement system in this country, the criminal injustice system, I call it, that targets specifically black and Latino people, especially young people, get them caught up in the criminal justice system that leads to most of the people in prison being black or Latino. And on the other side of it, the way that people are discriminated against and denied rights even after they've been punished and served their sentences, and that amounts to millions more people. So we think that this is a critical injustice that there needs to be more awareness of, and specifically people who already know about it need to stand up and say no to it. This call was issued by, initially by myself and Cornel West. The brother is religious, but he does some good things on a number of questions, and I'm working on him on that religious front, as I say, whenever we talk together. And a number of people in different parts of the country have taken it up. There are going to be actions in New York, several in California, Georgia, Houston, and Chicago, and we're working to spread it. And we think that particularly now with the attention that's being paid to the vigilante murder of Trayvon Martin, people need to look at the racial profiling that Zimmerman was applying to Trayvon. He sees a young black man in a hoodie in his neighborhood, and he decides he must be suspicious or on drugs or up to no good. Well, that's the same approach that the criminal justice system applies. And that is why you have 2.4 million people, most of them black or Latino, in prison. And things should not be this way. And people need to see beyond the particular immediate case to see that there is a much larger injustice that's being perpetrated, condoned, and covered up by the system as a whole that they need to not want to have done in their names.
In what ways this day of resistance, what resistance is going to be put into effect?
Well, what's going to be happening on that day is that students in colleges and high schools are planning rallies, teach-ins, walkouts, sit-ins, and a student call has been issued and is going out that is pulling that together. There are going to be convergences where there are going to be rallies and speak outs about the way in which police abuse people. We are collecting on our website what we call Bear Witness Against Abusive Policing, where people are sending statements either by video, audio, or in writing about their stories of their encounters to the police, because we want to make it very widely known how widespread this is. It isn't just the one or a couple of cases that break through the media whiteout on this, but it is much more widespread, and that's why people are out marching with signs that we are all Trayvon, because a lot of people have felt the sting of the criminal justice system, but they haven't had platforms to make their experience known. And through this day of resistance, we want to create that kind of platform, let many more people know about it, and encourage them to stand up and join us in saying no to it. The website that people can go to for more information is www.a19action.com. No, that's wrong. www.a19action.wordpress.com.
All right, so this is going to be an educational event, a mass educational event, but you're not anticipating any actual confrontations with police or anything like that?
Well, we are planning marches, demonstrations, okay, rallies, teach-ins, and as far as confrontations with the police, you can't say that those aren't going to happen because the police are a big part of that. I mean, I remember participating in a march calling for the state of Georgia not to execute Troy Davis because of the mounting evidence of his innocence of the crime that he was charged. And when people in New York City took to the streets to march in outrage around him being executed, the police decided that this wasn't going to happen and were riding motorcycles into the line of marchers. So there was no plan to confront police, but police developed their own plan to confront the demonstrators. So we're not planning on confrontations. In some places, people might organize civil disobedience, but in my view, civil disobedience isn't confrontation, although police have responded with pepper spray and billy clubs to it. So that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to manifest resistance, perhaps civil disobedience. That's an optional thing. People can do that if they want, you know, but we're not looking to confront police. But that's not always up to the protesters, as people know.
All right.
At least should know.
Yeah. All right, Carl, I want to thank you very much. It's been an enlightening interview. It's nice to have you on, and I've interviewed before one of your colleagues, Sarah Taylor. I've interviewed her a couple of times. That also was a pleasure. So I hope that everything goes well for you on April 19th, and hope to meet you someday. We've never met.
That's true. Same here, and I want to thank Stephanie for having me on.
You're very welcome. And in addition to the website, I would just like to, because I know that stories are sometimes easy to dismiss, if people want a more statistical look at what's going on, I'd like to recommend Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness.
Very good source on this.
I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in to Atheists Talk. This is Stephanie Zavan, your host. Join us again next Sunday when we'll be talking to Ayanna Watson, founder of Black Atheists of America. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you appreciate the show. The show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and our donors. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at minnesotaatheists.org. This has been Atheists Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. The podcast for this show will be on our radio page later today. Have a nice Sunday.